All right, good evening, Claire. We're going to be talking about another lesson a little bit different today. This one's going to be dealing with the Old Testament instances of rebellion. I think it's part two. The first one we dealt with was Adam and Eve. Well, this is another one. I told you we're going to talk about the rebellion of Ham. Ham rebelled against his father, Noah, by not covering his faults or not covering his shortcoming. So I want to read this out of the Genesis, book of Genesis, chapter 9, beginning at verse 20, all the way through verse 27. I'm reading out the Dolby translation, right out the book, really. So you can follow along right out the book, and you're gonna be understand exactly every word I said. But Genesis 9, verse 20 to 27, and Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servant, shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be a servant. God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Now, those few scriptures tell the story of Noah and his sons, and you're going to see some things here that's going to help us. It even might relate to some of the things that we talked about last week on the breakdown of authority within the home and how it affects the authority. And this really affects the whole outcome of a whole generation. And sometimes, you know, we don't see how if God goes that far, but God does go that far. Rebellion is a sin that it might take a long time to be dissolved if it's not corrected properly. And you ever heard the old statement, you nip it in the bud? If you correct things right away, you don't have a chance to settle in people's heart. And so you have to correct rebellion on the spot. You cannot let certain things linger because it'll grow and spread like wildfire. And it not only affect you, but it'll affect people around you. So that's what I like about Apostle Thompson. When he sees something, he don't wait. He nip it right there in the bud. He correct it right there on the spot. He don't let it go too far. He don't let it spread among the body. And that's the wisdom of the apostolic. I saw it many years. I saw that for many years. So here's the point. Here's the point I want you to remember. You see, and you say, well, Noah got drunk. Well, God used anything to get his will done sometimes. Sometimes you don't know God used things for his purpose. And God will test you if you have to. And he won't know what's in your heart. That's the whole thing. God really wants to know what's in your heart. And until you know what's in your heart, he can't take you further. You see it? So, remember the statement. Failure of delegated authority, I'm going to add the word, sometimes test obedience. Failure of delegated authority tests obedience. See, God was able to deal with Moses on his own term. But God sometimes allows certain things to happen to see what's in people's heart. God do it to a congregation. You see it? God do it to a family. He just did here. I want you to see it. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam fell. In the vineyard, Noah also was defeated. Now, what's with the correlation here? See, Adam and Eve was the beginning of a race of people, a beginning of a generation of people. They fell. Now God destroyed that world of Adam and Eve, and God saved Moses. Well, the eight of them all together. Moses, his three sons and his three wives and his wife, and they began another generation or another world or another part of creation that God used to replenish the earth. God destroyed the first world, and now he's dealing with a Noah world. We're in Noah's world right now. We come from the generation of Noah. You understand what I'm saying? The second world that God gave man the second chance to do this right. But he also had to add an element of Jesus in this system here to correct all the wrong that Adam did. But he had to come through the lineage. You see it? He had all the way from Adam all the way to Joseph and Mary to get this thing through. Well, this thing came down to 42 generations. Well, anyway, God used Moses, not Moses, he used Noah, failure, to reveal his rebellion. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam fell. In the vineyard, Noah also was defeated. But because of his righteousness, God saved the family of Noah. In God's plan, Noah was the head of the family. God put the whole family under Noah's authority. He also set Noah at the head of the world at that time. Now think about that. Think about the position. God always put a man in position of authority. And so it was up to Noah to see to it that his family walked before God and served God in righteousness. But because Noah was a human being, Noah was not without fault. Noah in his weakness fell. And in his weakness fell, and we got to realize that God was Noah's judge. Remember that point. Those in authority, those God have chosen, a correction always comes from the top. God never let the bottom correct because you're out of God's order. And sometimes people try to correct authority from the bottom up. No, God got to correct authority from the top. He's the authority, so he do the correcting. It was not Ham positioned to reveal his father's failure. All right? Now you remember this. You remember we say that. But one day, everybody said, but one day. But one day, Noah became drunk in his vineyard, and he uncovered himself in his tent. His youngest son, Ham, saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers outside. So far, I was going to make a statement, but I'm going to let Brother Nee say it. He said it better than I can. So far as Noah's conduct was concerned, he certainly was wrong. He should not have been drunk. And that's what Ham based his case upon. A fault of Noah. A shortcoming of Noah. He felt like as a father, he was misrepresented. Papa Noah, always correcting us. Tell us we can't do this. God don't like that. You can't do that. God don't like that. But now he's at fault. Now who's gonna correct him now? Who's gonna deal with him? You see it? And that's where the church is sometime right now. You see it? They're always looking for a flaw in authority. Like Brother Nee said, so I have to throw off all restraint. I don't have to submit to you. Because look, you got faults just like I do. You can't tell me, oh my goodness. You can't tell me what to do if you're not doing it. How are you going to correct me? And that's the way the church is. But they don't know that God chooses authority and God corrects whom he corrects. And God punished the evildoer. So God had to deal with Noah on his own term, and Ham will still have to show submission to his father, in spite of his shortcoming. In spite, is this giving a license for authority to sin? No. But God used this illustration to let you know that he is God, and nobody's going to come between him and take his place and to judge his authority. God will not let you judge his authority. You're out of order. And he called it rebellion. My goodness. And so the world system tried to break the authority down like Ham represents the world system, how it sees things, and how it tried to take authority and bring it down and discredit authority. God never meant for authority to be discredited. Authority doesn't change in God's mind. God's saying he's still the president. You see? God's saying he's still your pastor. God's saying he's still your father. I put him in position. You still respect him. You still honor him. But the world system had pulled the authority from underneath leaders and brought them down to a human level. Not only human level, but men's level and submission level. So we're all the same. We're all the same. You've heard the old terminology, the whole phrase, I'm a man just like you. I put my pants on just like you, one leg at a time, saying that you don't have to correct me. At the end of the day, we're equal. But no, they have a right to be your authority. They have a right to correct you. They have a right. And God wants us to walk in this authority despite our shortcoming, despite failure. I'm not giving a license for shortcoming. I'm not giving a license for yielding to the flesh. But I'm talking about God's authority now. I'm talking about God's authority. Once they have to break down the authority, once they break down the head, the body is separated. Once they break down the authority, the head, the body becomes weak and becomes scattered. You kill the shepherd, you got the sheep. Are you with me? You with me, Claire? I'm trying to show you what happened here with Ham and his father Noah. Yeah? And we're going to show you how God looks at authority, how God deals with authority, and how God wants us to deal with authority. So far, Noah's conduct was concerned. He certainly was wrong. He should not have been drunk. And that's right. Noah should not never have been drunk. Because you drink too much wine, you're going to get drunk. Wine drinking puts another spirit upon you. It messes with your judgment. It makes you do things you don't normally do. And he was found naked in his tent. He's probably still drunk. Took all the clothes off. And so you do crazy things when you're drunk. Maybe y'all never been drunk. But what I'm saying is he should never have been drunk. But yet, in all, God was to deal with him. God was to deal with him. And that's what I wanted the class to know. God deals with authority. I remember a certain pastor fell years ago in the church world. I mean, they slandered him all over the place. But Apostle Thompson stood before the congregation. He said, look, don't put your mouth on it. I remember that like yesterday. He said, don't put your mouth on it. That's God's business. God's going to take care of that. You keep walking in submission. You keep respecting. You just keep your mouth off of it. And he saved the church from getting in error of disobedience and rebellion through a prophetic and apostolic word. You see it? He understood authority. Apostle always understood authority. Always walked in submission to God. And so that's one of the reasons for this lesson here. He wants the church to know that we ought to walk in submission to authority. Is the church going to grow? LTMA is a very important aspect of this. And pastors that submit to authority gonna advance. Churches that follow apostolic leadership, they're gonna advance. And God gonna bless them. God gonna bless them. But they're gonna be tested, you see. God always tests those. But he happened to use Noah here. He used Noah to, I'm gonna read that statement again. The failure of a delegated authority sometimes tests obedience. You see it? Failure of delegated authority, you use that to test obedience. You know? So Ham failed to see the dignity of authority. And that was his failure. That was his failure. That was his error. That was his link to disobedience. That was his link to rebellion. He failed to see the dignity of authority. He didn't understand it. He didn't know what God thought about it. He didn't know how much God thought about Noah as being the head of the family. He didn't have the respect. He lost the respect for his father Noah. Once you lose respect for authority, there's no place for submission. You've lost the desire, and you've lost the revelation, if you ever had it, of submitting, or you never was submitted. You can't submit to what or who you don't respect. You see it? So I watch people's word. Sometimes, you know, in referring to apostle, they may say, Leroy, you go to Leroy Thompson Church. I say, my goodness. I almost fear for them because they don't have any respect for them. So I know there's a spirit of rebellion lingering in the air. And so I watch people who don't have respect for leadership and leaders. And I mock those among them. And so I know they're not far from rebellion, or if they're not in rebellion. And so Ham lost respect for his father. I don't know what caused him to lose respect. I noticed he was his younger son. And sometimes with the younger son, you know, I was the baby out of them all. The baby, number 11 in my entire family, I'm the baby. All my sisters and brothers claim they let me get away with more than anybody else. I don't know, because they got tired correcting the children. I don't know for what reason. You know, they always tend to spoil the baby. You know, so I don't know what it was. And sometimes, you know, they say one time my mother tried to correct me by throwing a shoe at me. She threw a shoe. See, back in then, whatever they could put the hand on, they corrected us. I mean, whatever was close by, they grabbed it and swatched you with it. So I guess the shoe was the closest thing to me. They say, I threw it back. I don't quite remember all that. I must have been a little kid. But I threw it back to you. The only one got away with stuff like that. And so I didn't know I did that. That was beyond my understanding of you know, I thought you were supposed to throw it back. But no, you didn't. You know, you don't do that to your parents. But nevertheless, they say I was spoiled. And so being the youngest, they say I got away with a lot that, you know, that the older ones got most of the correction. The older one got more of the whipping. We didn't get whipped as much at them that were older. You know, I don't know, because they began to age and just to let some thing go, let it go. I don't know what it was, but nevertheless, it don't make it right to throw a shoe back at your parent. I just thought I'd throw that in. But yet Ham failed to see the dignity of authority. The father is God's instituted authority in the home, but the flesh delights in seeing a defect in authority so as to throw off all restraint. Now, that's not just in the home, in the world system, and in the church. So the flesh looking for faults. They're looking for a way to discredit your authority. They're looking for a way to slander you and to bring you down to their their level, back to the system of right and wrong. They want to judge you with right and wrong, and it should never be in God's hand. It should never be in the hands of the church, not the church of the living God. Right and wrong might be in the world, the sinner's hand, but God took it out of the church hand through Jesus Christ. He said through Romans 8 and 14, for as men are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. That's your mark of sonship. When you're led by the Spirit, not by the principle of right and wrong. The right and wrong is destroyed through the blood of Jesus. He took back and brought it back to the position that Adam and Eve when they first was in the garden. You see it? When Ham, remember this statement, when Ham saw his father's improper conduct, he did not have the slightest sense of shame or sorrow, nor did he try to cover his father's fault. We're not covering the father's people's mistake. We're not trying to cover spiritual leader's mistake, but you're not going to expose it either. You're not going to expose it. You're supposed to protect your spiritual leader. You don't bring slander upon your spiritual leader. No, you cover them with love. You cover them with respect. You cover them with honor. Noah was still honorable, but not in Ham's eye. Noah was still respectful, but not in Ham's eye. You see it? But he was respectful in the eyes of Shem and Japheth. He was honored in the eyes of Shem and Japheth. So that let us know that Shem and Japheth understood authority. They understood to reverence their father. They understood to honor their father. They understood to respect their father, no matter what. No matter what. They had a revelation of Noah, their father. And they had a revelation how God honored him. Maybe they didn't see what he saw. Maybe they missed out on some of the things Japheth and his brother Shem saw. Maybe they didn't see all the glorious thing God brought them to. You see it? You see, so when you don't see certain things, you miss out on some of them days. You see it? See, a lot of world life members never saw what apostles came through. You see it? A lot of them never saw the battles that he had to fight for the church to be in position that it's in now. They never saw it, so sometimes they don't have all the respect and honor, the honor that we have for our great apostle. And sometimes people dishonor because of a lack of knowledge. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for Ham, but Ham acted in his own mind. He acted in his own self-righteousness. He acted in his own judgment of right and what's right and wrong without understanding God's authority. I'm trying to teach you something, class. Once you understand authority, you're gonna respect all those God that put in position over you. Now, this reveals what? That Ham had a rebellious spirit. He went out instead and told his brethren, pointed out to them his father's ugliness, and so adding to himself the sin of reviling. Now, what is the sin of reviling? Sin of reviling is to speak evil of authority. You're going to see more in the New Testament when the council was coming against Paul. Paul would not speak evil of dignities. Matter of fact, Paul said, do not speak evil of dignities. That's reviling words. That's saying evil against them. And that's the reviling word that the apostle kept us from when this great man of God fell in part of his ministry. And then he told us, don't put your mouth upon it. He was saying, don't you revile against this man, this God's servant, for many years. You haven't done the things he's done. You haven't seen the things that God used him with. And you can't just honor him for this one mistake. So he kept the church off of that. And God blessed him for that. You see? Because he honored God's servant. He honored God's servant. Because he still was the great man of God. He still is the great man of God. And he recovered from his shortcoming. People see the fall, but they'll never see the recovery. You see it? You see it? So it revealed rebellion in Ham. So observe, though, how Shem and Japhet managed the situation. You see, when you have a spirit of obedience and reverential respect for authority, you handle things different. You manage situations different. They enter the tent backwards. You see, one on one end of the covering or the blanket, and the other, and it said they wouldn't even turn their face toward their father. And they lowered the blanket upon their father's neck and while he was drunk, and would not even look upon him. They covered their father's neck in it. God honored that. God positioned them. God cursed Ham and honored Shem and Japhet. Well, why? Well, why did God do that? Because one was honored and one was dishonorable. Two was honorable and one was dishonorable. Would that tell one out of every three? No, I'm not going to say that. No, I'm not going to say that. Because everybody walking in obedience. Everybody walking in obedience. So that's what they did. It is seen then that the failure of Noah became a test to Shem, Ham, and Japhet, and Ham's son Canaan. It revealed who was obedient and who was rebellious. Maybe you've been through some test. Or maybe there might be a test that headed your way. I'll tell you what. Follow Shem and Japhet. Give honor to whom honor is due. Give respect. That's what Paul was saying. To whom respect is due. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That you honor those that God honors. You see, it is not our job to do any correcting. It's God's job to correct Noah. I know the Bible never said anything about Noah's mistake. Did God look upon it? God saw it, but God judged it in his own way. He didn't even say how God judged it because it was none of their business. That's God's business. God's business between him and his servant is their business between him and his servant. You see it? God do not expose his servant as to the way he handles them. God's the just judge. I want you to know that. God's the just judge. So Noah's fall unveiled Ham's rebellion. If you see it in the text, will you pass it? Noah's fall unveiled or revealed Ham's rebellion. After Noah awoke from the wine, he prophesied that the descendant of Ham would be cursed and would become the slave of Japhet. Now, I have something here I want to say. Because it was a good point I wanted to bring up. Maybe I haven't got to it yet. But in case I don't have time to get to it, I better get to it now. After Noah woke from his wine, he prophesied that the descendant of Ham would be cursed and would become the slaves to their brother. The first one in the Bible is to become a slave was Ham. Three times was the sentence pronounced that Canaan would be a slave. This is to say that the one who is not subject to authority shall be slave to him who does obey authority. You see that? Shem was to be blessed. Even our Lord Jesus Christ came from Shem. Japhet was destined to preach Christ. And thus it is that the nations that propagate the gospel today belong to the descendants of Japhet. The first to be cursed after the flood was Ham, not knowing authority. He was put under authority for generations to follow in slavery. Everyone who wishes to serve the Lord needs to meet authority. No one can serve in the spirit of lawlessness. Now, let me go back here. I still want to say what I need to say. I'm going to find it for you. I thought I marked it. I thought I highlighted it. It talks about when Noah knew. He knew what Ham had done. I wanted to read it out of the scripture here. Where is it, Lord? Help me find. Give me a minute. I got something very important I need to say about this. Yeah, I know where it is at now. I got it. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, here it is. It's in the scripture here. It says, this was Shem and Japheth said. And he was uncovered, talking about Noah, within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their fathers, upon their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now, I pause there because there's something significant here. Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. Well, my question is, how did he know? How did God give him a word of knowledge? I don't think so. He knew because the two sons that were committed to him and that were devoted to him and that had respect for him and that had real honor for him told Noah. Say, Dad, we want you to know something here. They couldn't hide Ham's fault because it was wrong. And it needed to be corrected. When you see something in your church that's wrong and need to be corrected, please do not hide it from your pastor. Please do not hide it from your spiritual leader. He needs to know. And how should he know? You need to tell him. I would tell the people that if you do or say something you don't want apostle or pastor to know, don't say it in front of me because I'm going to tell. And I would say that, meaning from my heart. And I've done that. I've done it over the past year. Yeah, if I see something, well, how else you going to know? He can't see everything. He can't watch everything. If you're a spiritual leader in the church, you need to be watching for your pastor, watching for your spiritual leader, watching because what he can't watch. You can't hide things because when you hide something, you become partakers of those things. Partakers of other men's sin. No, I tell him, Noah knew because Shem and Japheth told him, Dad, Ham came into your tent and he told us that he found you naked. And he said some things about it. Oh, look at that. Yeah, some great man always preaching to us. But look, he's drunk now. And they dishonored you and they uncovered your sin. They uncovered your fault. And that's how you knew. I just wanted to touch on that, class, because that's so important for you as leaders in the church to be watchmen on the wall. Watch for your spiritual leader. Yeah, be a watchman. Yeah, watch. Pay attention. Pay attention to what people say. Pay attention. See, because your leader can't see everything. He can't watch everything. Find out what people say. See what the motive is for saying that. Question them. So what are you saying? And so eavesdrop on their conversation sometimes. You will need to know if there's a rebellion or a snake in the camp. Yeah, he needs to know. And he needs to know through you. If you don't say nothing, you're just a guilty of the person that's saying it. If you don't say what you hear, you're just a guilty of the person that's saying it. I made my mind up years ago. I wasn't going to be more loyal to these people than I am to my apostle. I'm going to say it again. I made my mind up. I wasn't going to be more loyal to those that was, I don't care. That's why I couldn't be friends with everybody. Apostle told us years ago, he was training us early in the ministry. He said, look, always keep yourself arm length as leader. Always keep yourself arm length from everybody. In other words, say, don't get too close to everybody, to anybody. Because that same person you try to be friend with, you might have to correct them. You might have to put your hand in the face and, no, you can't do it. No, you're wrong. So sometimes it's a little lonely life, but it comes with the territory. Spiritual leader, it's a lonely life, but you can't get close to anybody. You can't become friend and buddy-buddy with everybody. I became friend with a minister friend. He came to ministry years ago. He seemed to prove himself faithful. And so him and I became friends. Sometimes we were a little bit too close friends. I mean, we even shared vacation together. I mean, his family and my family about the same age, and we all went together to Disney World. We went, you name it. We went to different places. Our children was young, were children, and so what happened was, he began to turn. His heart, something happened in the process, and I watched him. He began to turn, and when he turned, I turned. And when he disconnected, I disconnected. From who? From him. Yep. He even christened one of my baby girl. But I never stayed in his presence. I never was partakers of his sin. And I always understood that when you turn from apostle, you turn from me. That happened to Samuel. Samuel loved Saul. Him and Saul had a relationship because he was God's first king. And Samuel taught Saul a lot of things. But Samuel saw Saul's heart begin to turn. And then that same Samuel, God told him, go back and tell him that he's no more king. I stripped him of his place of authority because he disobeyed me. And the Bible says Samuel wept all night for Saul. For Saul, he loved Saul. I knew he loved Saul. Saul was like a son to him. But yet God had disconnected from Saul. And then God stopped Saul, Samuel. He said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? He said, you didn't reject him, but I did. I rejected him. And then the Bible said, Samuel went to Saul's presence no more. So I learned that. I learned that a long time ago, years ago. Whoever disconnect from apostle, I'm not going to be friend and kin with you. I'm not going to be in your face grinning and skinning. I'm not going to be partakers of your sin. You just honor your apostle, my apostle, you just honor me. You just honor my family. And so my whole family is disconnected. We're disconnected in a respectful way. I didn't say anything negative about him, but I let him know that I couldn't be in your party no more. I let him know that I can't come to your children game no more. I let him know I couldn't be partakers in your birthday party. I couldn't do it. I let him know. I disconnect myself. You don't have to give any more gifts to my daughter because you're Christian. That'll connect us. That don't make things right. Some people don't know how to disconnect. So you better learn how to disconnect. See, because God disconnect. And to class, I know it sounds like a tough lesson. I know it sounds like a hard thing to do. I know it sounds like you might think it ain't love, but yet that's the highest kind of love. Why? Because you're following God's will and God's plan, and you walking in line with obedience to God's authority. So, class, you've been a good class. Sorry we couldn't go further, but I had a good time teaching, and go in peace. Go in peace.